Eve Chapter 41. Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Eov, Perek Mem Aleph, Chapter 41. This is the second to last chapter of Sefer Eov. In the beginning of Chapter 40, God asked Eov if he has what to say. And according to the Pshat, the simple explanation of the text, Eov answered that he does not. We learned other interpretations as well. Since Eov did not have a response to God, God continues his description of the universe and its constellations and natural phenomena, chapter 38, and the fauna in the world, chapter 39, with a close to mythical description of the super powerful behemoth and leviathan. In our chapter, God continues to describe the behemoth and the leviathan, the Leviathan and behemoth, but unusual creatures that were described already in chapter 40. As we said earlier, these creations exhibit the power of God to create and sustain the world in a natural, supernatural way beyond human ability and comprehension. I want to go back to one of the biggest issues we had in Eov. Was it right for Eov, a suffering, faithful servant of God, to speak to God in the manner that he did? Can you argue with God? Can you ask these questions? Can you wonder about these things? Or does one have to accept everything like Eov did right in the beginning and just say, Hashem Natan, Hashem Lakach, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach, God giveth and God taketh away, blessed be the name of Hashem. Do we have to always accept things with equanimity? This is God's will and we accept it. Can we be angry? Can we ask questions? Can we want to know? What is the firm way to think about these things? We discussed Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal regarding the possibly torturous journey of life. We read his piece that life is not always smooth, and we learn from life and grow, and we learn from its tragedies and its difficulties. Now we have a different question. Is it right to speak to God and request a hearing in justice? Is it right to ask questions? To wonder how, why? The Rav, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, asked this question when discussing the Kinot. Every summer for many years, the Rav would analyze and discuss the Kinot on Tisha B'Av. And I'm quoting, according to the Koren Mesoret HaRav Kinot. One could ask, what right do we have to pose such a question to the Almighty? Normally, the Halakha does not permit us to ask this type of question. Why? How? Rather, it prescribes that we unquestioningly accept the judgment of God. We are guided by the concept that a person is required to bless God for the good and the bad, for tragedy and misfortune, just as he blesses God for the good times. And this is in the Gemara in Brachot 54a. When confronted with tragedy, we do not argue with God. Rather, we say, blessed is the true judge, Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. We do not understand misfortune. We have no right to expect that we will understand. So we accept it. And we say to God, you are the true judge. We're going to make a blessing for the good and for the bad, because we do not understand your ways. However, says the Rav, The case of Kinot on Tisha B'Av, when we read Lamentations and we lament about the destruction of the temple, that Kinot on Tisha B'Av are an exception to this general rule. We are permitted to ask Eicha, and Eicha is another way of saying Eich. How? How could you do this to us, God? So how could we ask how if we're always to accept what has happened to us? So how do we ask this question? Because, says the Rav, we are following the precedent of Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, the prophet, who posed the question Eicha in the book of Lamentations. In the book of Eicha. That's why we call it Eicha. How? How did this happen? Why did this happen? Jeremiah posed this question only because he was given a heter, special permission by God himself. Thus, Elazar HaKalir, who is the one who writes many of the kinot, many of the lamentations beyond the book of Lamentations that we say on the ninth of Av, that's why Elazar HaKalir is permitted to ask the question Eicha, because Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, asked Eicha. And Jeremiah was given special permission by God. So we are referring all the way back. In his posthumous work, The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, Reflections on the Tisha B'Av keynote. So there's another explanation for this ability to ask Eicha how, not only because Jeremiah was given special permission, but the Rav also gives another answer. It's complementary, not opposing, but complementary. What right do we have to pose such a question, Eicha, how did you do this, to God Almighty? And the answer is that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, and Yisrael, the Jewish people, is all-embracing, all-inclusive, endless, and without limitation. There is an absolute relationship of love between the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God. Nothing can spoil it. Nothing can cool it off. Nothing can change it. And if it is between the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's between the Jew and God, this special relationship, for sure, certainly, it exists between Knesset Yisrael, the trans-historical corporate entity of the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God. So on Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year, we rely on this absolute relationship of love between the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is all-embracing, all-inclusive, endless, and without limitation. That gives us the right to ask God, how, why? I would like to infer a corollary to Eov and all of us from this idea. Because if you look at Eov, Eov is really, truly asking God his questions as an insider, as one who fears God and looks to him for answers. Since Eov is seeing God as all-encompassing, as the Almighty, looking to him for answers, the questions are legitimate. Because he's crying out to God because they originally had a relationship. He's feeling alienated now, but he's crying out because that relationship is being torn, questioned. People who suffer and cry out to God and ask, why me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my child, to my friend, to my spouse, to my community? They're reaching out to God because they have faith in God. It's not really heresy. It's the ultimate cry of faith. So too my ancestors, especially my grandfather. During the Holocaust and all other Jews who were persecuted, tortured, and murdered, they cried out to God and had a lot of questions for God. They asked, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani? Hashem, Hashem, my God, how have you abandoned me, us, your people? In the next chapter, we will hear Eov's reaction to God's response. Was it meaningful and helpful to him to see God's power and that God rules over the entire world? What are we looking for in our relationship with God? What answers do we want? When we are suffering, when we are sick, when we are alone, when we are depressed, when we are alienated, we are confused, and even, dare I say, even when we are happy. What are we looking for in our relationship with God? The next chapter, chapter 42, is the very last chapter in the book of Eov. How does the whole book end? What is the message of the book? We have been discussing many ideas along the way. Now we will hear Eov's response to God. Was he satisfied with God showing him his might and telling him that he controls the entire universe, the constellations, flora, fauna, everything? And what does Eov know? We will also hear God's response to Eov and the friends. Was Eov healed? Did his life improve? If you lost your entire family and possessions and health in the Holocaust, but then you rebuilt your family, your life, and your possessions, is that compensation, restoration, and restitution? Was it the restoration or the feeling of God's presence that renewed the faith of the survivors or any sufferers of any tragedy? If you lost a child and then had another, or were very sick and were healed, or lost your family in the Holocaust or some other tragedy, and then you built another family, is it as if the first tragedy never happened? Or is the restoration a feeling of rejuvenation, a feeling that God is with you and that it's possible to move on? The past is never forgotten, but now you have the ability to move forward. Comforting mourners also might work this way. The comforters are there not to give reasons for the death, but to help the mourners feel part of the community and feel God's presence. We say, "Hamakom yenachem etchem betoch she'ar avelei Tzion v'Yerushalayim." May God, who is everywhere, comfort you among the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. The destruction was a catastrophic moment for the Jewish people. But we have moved on, never forgetting, but we've moved on. And even while remembering the past, we are able to build a strong present and a strong future. We realize that God is always with us in times of joy and tragedy. In the next chapter, the last chapter, we will learn Eov's response to God's revelation, and we will find out the coda to Eov's life. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.